Why are you standing idle? That's a question found in the Bible, and it's already been read earlier in the text that was read, Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 20, 1 through 7. Look at some of the things that are highlighted. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to get laborers in his vineyard. It is rather interesting, the insight this gives into you. Guess what time of day their work started? It very likely started at 6 a.m. None of this 9 to 5 business, you know, and an hour's break for lunch. That's not biblical. He went out early in the morning. 6 in the morning, is the sun up at 6? Not yet. It may get up a little bit later. But, you know, before daylight in our present situation, he went out to hire men to work in his vineyard. And this is what the church is like. And he goes out and he agrees with those individuals who are there. He hires them. If I use the word day laborers, might be a concept that you would understand, to come and work this day. And the end of this day, I will give you fair wages. And the amount that was agreed upon is a denarius. Somebody says, how much is that? Well, it helps us in understanding other parts of the Bible to recognize this denarius was a legitimate, good, one day's pay for wages. And so whenever we learn about that alabaster box that was anointed Jesus, and it cost 300 denarius. That's a lot of money if you think of 300 work days. And so that gives us some insight into that. But he needs more laborers. And so he goes out the third hour. Now what time's that? Well, first hour would be 7, second hour would be 8, the third hour would be 9 o'clock. So he goes out at 9 o'clock, and there are others who are standing in the marketplace, and he says, go also and work in my vineyard, and whatever is right, I'll give it to you. This landowner is not a swindler. He's giving fair wages for the labor that is to be done. Then about the sixth hour, what time is that? Well, that's at noon. So he goes out at noon, and then again he goes out in the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there are those individuals who are standing, and he does the same to them. And he says to them, pardon me, whatever is right, I'll give it to you. And then he goes out at 5 p.m. And he sees men who are standing there, and he says, why have you been standing here all day long? And that's really the question of this lesson. Why are you standing idle? And they said, because no man's hired us. And he says to them, go work in my vineyard, and I'll give you that which was right. Continuing the reading, look in verse 8. Verse 8 says, when evening came, he calls all of the workers together, and those who came in at 5 p.m. were giving a denarius. And those who had worked all day long supposed they'd receive greater wages. And that's not the situation at all. He gave to all of those who came in the third hour, the ninth hour, and the sixth hour, and the third hour, and early in the morning, every one of them got a denarius for that day's wages. And these individuals who had worked all day said, now wait a minute, it's not fair what you've done. We've worked so much harder than they have, our labor ought to be worth more than that. Well, he said to them, I'm not doing you wrong. You agreed to labor for that. It was a legitimate wages. And you take what you have, and if I wish to give this last man the same as you, that's not any of your business. And then he says, shall the fact that I am good cause you to be evil? There's a whole context of the setting of this. There's the context of individuals thinking they were better than others, and the immediate application has to do with the Jews and the Gentiles. The kingdom of heaven is like a man going out trying to find people to work in the vineyard, and there are some people who have been, in some respect, a part of the plan of God on this earth. The Jews had been there. You know, for 1,500 years, they'd been serving God. And I know these individuals were not 1,500 years old, but their heritage was Judaism. And so they were the ones who were coming in. And he's trying to tell them, wait a minute, there are some others who are going to be part of the kingdom, and they're going to be rewarded because of my goodness. This man is no respecter of person. This landowner is no respecter of person. He's honest, he's good, and it was his decision. And listen to this choice of words: to show grace to those who had not been a part of that Jewish heritage. That's the immediate application of it. But man, there are some other applications in our day that, as I remember as a young person reading this, and I thought, that man's a swindler. When I heard this story, I thought, he ought to have paid those other guys more money. Well, what he's illustrating. He gave to them a legitimate amount. They'd agreed to that amount. But he's trying to teach a lesson, and what a great lesson it is for us. And that is that God is good and gracious to every one of us. I put on the screen, it's a great lesson for young Christians. We mentioned recently, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, in a sermon about the fact that if you obey the gospel when you're a young person, you can give 50 or 60, maybe even 70 years of service to God. How blessed are you to have been a part of working in God's kingdom for 60 or 70 years. Just think of the blessing that that's been. Some of you have been in the church 30 years. Some have been in this church. Some of who are here today have been in the church nearly 70 years. What a blessing it's been. God's been good and God's been gracious to you. And you've lived the best life on this earth. You've lived a fulfilling life. But there are others who have come in later in their life. I believe Joe Quigley was one of the oldest individuals that was ever baptized in the work. He was 86, 87 years of age when he was baptized. And he said several times in the class that I was teaching, I wasted the first 87 years of my life. Guess what? If you come in late like Joe did, or if you come in early like many of you in this audience have, God is going to be good and gracious to you, and God is going to reward you. You see, there's this question, what about the matter of, are there greater rewards for some than for others? Well, the point is not that there are greater rewards for some than for others, but here's an illustration that might help you understand this. Here are two individuals that are going to listen to a concert. There's a symphony. One of those individuals is so skilled, he has played some 8 or 10 musical instruments. He understands all the intricacies of music. And there's some other fellow, he's a redneck. And he goes down there and both of them hear exactly the same thing. And the redneck comes away saying, "My, wasn't that wonderful? That really, really was wonderful." But the other man, who's more skilled, hears things that you never, ever were heard. I remember being a student at Fried Hardeman. Next door to me was an individual who had one of these big PA systems, not as amplifying as these modern ones were, but they'd shake my wall every now and then. And he was playing the Grand Canyon Suite, you know, that musical thing. And I talked to him about it. He says, "Don't you hear the feet of those little donkeys walking up and down that trail?" And once he said it, yeah, I heard it, you know. I didn't hear it until he pointed it out to me. I was hearing the same thing he had, and he heard it every bit. He played the 1812 Overture. And right in the middle of it, man, there are these cannons that are shooting. I didn't know that. I'm a redneck. And I hope I can say I was a redneck, but at least I was more redneck back then than I am now. And I didn't hear those cannons. And when he was there, he was getting that whole war of 1812. We both heard exactly the same thing. You think about heaven being a rest. And if you've labored for 60 or 70 years in the kingdom of God, think about how much more restful that will be than that individual who becomes a part of the kingdom later. Heaven is a reward. And think of the reward and the satisfaction of having devoted all of your life because you became a Christian when you were young. And there's a greater satisfaction of understanding the reward that you're having than this other individual who'd only come in at the 11th hour. That's what this parable is all about. But there's a great question for us to consider today, and we don't want to spend too much time looking at that text. And that is Jesus asking the question, why are you standing idle? Well, let's talk about that. Why are there those who are standing idle? Well, the obvious one, some because they've never heard. That's the situation of those individuals who came in at the 11th hour. Why are you standing here? Nobody has invited us in. Is that a matter of concern for every one of us? It might ought to be a matter of concern if you've never had anyone to ever say to you, if you were to die right now, what do you think your eternal destiny would be? That's the very attempt that people are trying to make, and you may find it offensive when others say, you know, have you thought about the seriousness of the way you're living? And you and I need to understand that sometimes those words come as an illustration of love. And if somebody's ever said that to you, don't get offended because somebody's interested in you. And they're trying to get you involved in doing that which is right. But all the other side of that, and that is the obligation upon every member of this church to recognize there are people in Palm Beach County that would obey the gospel if we would just say, come and see. We've had several to become part of this church in the last few months, and they came in not because of some great impact in their lives, but because people who were practically total strangers said to them, come and see. And what we're trying to do this year in our outreach, and that's that Discovery magazine that's out there, and there will be other things, and that is just to put in your hands something that you can give to somebody and just say, let me tell you about this church. I mentioned in my class this morning about the fact down at KFC, there's a young lady working there, and I said, with a smile like that, you must go to church somewhere. Where do you go to church? And she says, well, I'm a member of the Mormon church, or I go to the Mormon church. And said, we don't worship Joseph Smith, but I said, you and I need to study the Bible together. You know how easy that was? You met anybody that's smiling at everything out in this world? Just say, we need folks like you in this church. Come and see. And if that fellowship and love that is here that keeps us almost from being able to start on time every week, there's reality to that. And visitors, I promise you, if you don't rush off today, you'll get more greetings than you've ever felt in your life. Why? Because we believe there's something special about this. And oh, what an obligation that places upon us. There's a second reason, and that is some who have heard are not ready to work. A lot of times that's the situation. You've tried to invite others and say, don't talk to me about that. I want you to know that you are not a failure whenever they tell you no. Listen to that. You are not a failure when you invite somebody to live right or to come and see, and they say, no, I'm not even interested. You're not a failure. You made an A+. The Lord did not say, go and get everybody to come inside a church building. Paul says it this way, the Lord sent me not to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, the good news. And the good news is come and see. There's something special here at Palm Beach Lakes. And whenever there's that wayside soil or that thorny ground or that stony ground, you're not a failure. Whenever they say, don't ever talk to me about this again. You've done everything you can do to help that person. And we've got to get out of our minds the fact whenever we say, I cannot find anybody to teach, and by teach, we mean to baptize. I cannot find anybody to convert. The Great Commission is not go to convert the world. The Great Commission is to go and say to the world, come, there's something special in the religion of Jesus Christ. And some have made that decision. But there are others who are standing idle because they have entered the vineyard and they've left the vineyard. It's a marvel, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, that you are so soon removing yourself from Him that called you into the grace of Jesus. To another gospel. It's not another gospel. It's the perverted gospel of Jesus. And then he says, you cannot afford to do that. But some have fallen away. And how tragic it is that over the years we've seen those individuals who once were really diligent in the church. Ever known anybody that once a diligent worker in the church? And then they stopped. And they stopped. They've left the vineyard. Or, to put the next point up, and that is, they used to be that way, but they stopped. They're slowing down. Would not the Lord say to those individuals who have hit that part of their spiritual life, why are you standing idle? Why is it that, don't you understand, there's work to be done in the vineyard, and why are you not stepping up to the plate? Why are you not working diligently? Why are you standing around? Well, why does that happen? Because some people lose focus. Some people lose the focus of what is really important in their life. The first thing, the priorities in their life. And at one time, they had the right priorities in their life. But they've wandered away. They've changed those priorities. They may still be in the vineyard, but they're not that diligent harvester that went out. And when they went into the field, they were working for the master and doing whatever they could. Oh no, they've slowed down. They've lost focus. They've become distracted. The Bible talks about the fact that three things will destroy you, will destroy Christians: cares and riches and pleasure. The cares of this world. Just getting so busy that you're so committed, you do not have time to take care of yourself spiritually. And the second thing is riches. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says to every one of us, because compared to the rest of the world, we are rich. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not be high-minded, but they be diligent in good works. Riches are great, great dangers, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so those that desire to be rich fall into a snare. We need to hear that. Every one of us needs to hear that. Desire for riches can make us lose focus of the things that are really important. And these things will choke, not just choke the Word of God out of our lives. As we said in that sermon 2 weeks ago, it will choke us. And tragically, you see that happening oftentimes. And then some have standing idols because nobody ever asked me to do anything. And I know there's a difficulty sometimes in trying to find your place in the kingdom of God. But you need to understand that this is a volunteer army of Jesus Christ. It's not that you have been inducted into the army of Jesus and a sergeant general is going to come and hold your nose to the grindstone to make you serve God. That's not what it's all about. Jesus says, you come unto me, you make the decision, and the level at which you work will be left up to you. But if that individual says, well, I wish I could do more, then first of all, let's do more. Why do you think we make these announcements about the sick? Why do you think we make the announcements about activities like this Ladies' Day? Ladies, think about a blessing you can be just by coming to this dinner and associating with ladies from other congregations that may only have 20 members or so. And for them, there'll be ladies who'll drive 100 miles to be here that Thursday night. You need to be here to encourage them. That's not holding somebody's nose to the grindstone and trying to force them to do. Why would you not want to be here to encourage these sisters in these smaller congregations who may be discouraged to spend that wonderful evening of fellowship together? And the same thing about you men. Why would you not just say, I want to help, I want to be a part of this? But not just that one aspect of that. The announcements that are made here regularly provide opportunity after opportunity. You talked about on Wednesday night about Joe and Mary in Holland now being in an assisted living place. And would you believe Joe's in the hospital? I don't know if he came home late yesterday or not, but Joe's in the hospital. Now Mary's over there at that assisted living place all by herself. Does that say that's something that I might could do? I've known Joe, I've known Mary, and some of you could say I've known them for years. What an opportunity. Why are you standing idle? Why are you sitting back thinking, well, I'll do it tomorrow? That is the wrong attitude. It's the wrong attitude. And if you want to work in the vineyard, then find you a deacon and say, I want to serve more. Because they're the ones who are heading up the work programs of the church under the supervision of our elders. Well, that's enough about that. There may be some other reasons. But could I point out to you some important verses about this matter of working? Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, when a man came and said, I'll follow you wherever you go, but first let me go bury my father. Jesus said to one, to that first individual, you need to understand the cost. The birds have their nest and the foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to pillow his head. It's going to cost you something. If you're going to work in my vineyard, it's going to cost you something. And then he talks about the man who said, well, I must go and bury my father. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. And then he makes an amazing statement. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Imagine this landowner, instead of being a vineyard owner, had ground that was to be plowed. Here's that individual that has the oxen in front of him. He's got the plow. And instead of making those rows straight and lined up so the field would be the most productive way, all of the time they're just looking in one direction and another. All of a sudden Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom. That's not trying to be negative. It's trying to be realistic. Are you that individual who started plowing and now you're distracted by all of the things that are there? What about Matthew 6:33? First thing in your life is what? Well, you know, Mark, you know Matthew 6:33. The kingdom of heaven, that's the church. You put the church first in your life. I want you to hear that. I want you to understand that there's priorities that are in your life. Let me say this in as humble a way as I can, but there's something really special about Palm Beach Lakes. There's something special about our Bible classes. There's something special about the loving nature that is here and the encouragement we give to each other. It's family. And folks that come from out of town walk away saying, man, that place is really different. Are you aware that right now I immediately can think of three individuals who moved into this area just so they were members of the church elsewhere and they moved into this area to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes. They verbalized that. Well, why would they do that? Well, one individual said his company was going to move him and he was going to quit his job because the church he was at was a good church and he didn't want to take his family and put them in a place where it would be detrimental to his children. And so he investigated, found this place, and now is a part of the church here. Why is that? Let me say a word to those of you who choose not to be a part of our Bible classes. You understand the greatness of the Bible classes that are here? You know the depth of the study of the Bible classes that are here? I'm not just talking about Sunday sermons. I'm talking about our Bible classes this morning at 9 o'clock. I'm talking about tonight's sermon. Tonight's sermon is going to discuss this matter of Cornelius and why on earth could a man who was not saved receive the Holy Spirit? That's a major problem. You get in a religious discussion with somebody, you need to be here. You need to understand the reason for that. It's the same thing about all of these classes that we have. Look at the nature of them. They're designed to help us go to heaven, and you and I need to understand that if we're really serious, we need to put the kingdom first in our lives. There are others who need to consider the fact that the sufferings of this age are not worthy to be compared to what lies ahead. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Whatever effort it takes is not even worthy to be compared to the rewards that are there. What about Galatians chapter 6 verse 9? As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. You and I need to understand opportunities abound and we need to lift up our eyes unto the opportunities that are around us and not let the Lord look at us and say, I want to talk to you. Why are you standing idle? Because you see, the suffering, whatever effort it takes, not worthy to be compared to that which is out there. What about 1 Corinthians 15:58? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You got to hear that. Whatever effort you take is not an empty effort, is not in vain in the Lord. Why are you standing idle? And then finally, Matthew chapter 6, one of the Beatitudes says, and great is your reward in heaven. That's remarkable. Some closing motivational thoughts. I want you to understand that if you've been standing idle, you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. We sing the song of invitation. You can become a child of God anytime, any hour, any day of the week that you want to. We keep the baptistry here warmed all of the time because we baptize probably more people outside of our service than we do inside of our service. It's not a showy thing. That's not what baptism is. It's a decision between you and God. Why have you not entered into that relationship to Jesus Christ? There's the invitation from Jesus. And some of you are here who need to respond, and you need to hear the pleading that is there. That song of invitation says, only a step. You could take that step today and become a Christian. And so let me urge you and motivate you, if you're still in the marketplace and Jesus looks at you and said, why are you not in my kingdom? To respond, because He's going to do what's right to every person. To those of you who have become lukewarm in your service of God, the book of Revelation looked at a church that had that problem. It says, go back and do it like you used to. Do your first works. The fervor that you had when you became a child of God is the fervor you need to have if you've been in the church 60 years. And go back and serve God like you did when you made that commitment. You remember the zeal that you had and the promises you made to God. Fulfill those promises by just saying, I've been standing idle inside the vineyard, and I'm going to start working more. I'm going to get back and work like I used to. And then let me urge you to feed your spiritual side. If you're not eating the spiritual food that's available in the Word of God and in Bible classes, private Bible studies, Bible classes, sermons, you're starving yourself of the feeding of your faith. And when adversity comes in your life, all you have is your faith. And that's why we need to feed our faith and make sure that we're being nourished, the spiritual side of us. And then let me encourage you, all of you, to extend yourself. Think outside the box and see yourself working in the kingdom of God, because that individual who works, to him shall be given more. You know what happened to the one talent, of one talent that the man had not used? It was given to the man who had used the treasure that had been given unto him. And then Jesus says, to him that has, it shall be given. If you see yourself as that individual who's not very talented in the Lord, I'm sort of a one talent individual, then try to become a one and a half talent individual. You understand what I'm saying? And extend yourself and commit yourself to do things that you haven't done before. I'm going to step out. I'm going to serve more in the kingdom of God than I have. Because I don't want God looking at me saying, Dan, I remember you way back yonder, but you've slowed down. Why are you standing idle? Or, Dan, why did you not take that which you have and develop it even further? Develop it even further for the kingdom of God. Brother Franklin Camp said of Brother Gus Nichols, an older preacher, and I recognize that I was a younger preacher when I heard that, so he said it to an anciently old preacher. I guess I'm the older preacher nowadays, but I'll never forget what he said about Brother Nichols. Men, you need to hear this, ladies too, but especially you men. Brother Camp looked at Brother Nichols. He says, he's the only man in the kingdom of heaven that I knew who developed himself in every area possible to the highest ability that he personally had. Brother Nichols, he said, was not the best song leader in the brotherhood, but Brother Nichols was the best song leader that he could be. There's your challenge. Not that you've got to be better than anybody in the kingdom, but extend yourself. Say, I want to be better. I'm going to be more diligent in serving God, for I don't want the Lord ever to say, why are you standing idle? We mentioned that invitation and mentioned that invitation song. We're about to sing that. You want to enter into that kingdom? It's very simple. How do you do it? This is not a plan somebody in the Church of Christ came up with. It's God's plan of salvation. You become a part of the kingdom by believing in Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says that. The Bible says you've got to make that decision. That's repentance. There are people who are living a rather high standard of moral life, but they've never committed that moral life to the service of God. And this could be the very day that you could respond to the invitation because you make that decision. That's what repentance is. It's a decision of commitment that brings about a change in my life for the rest of my life. And when you've confessed it, you believe Jesus is the Son of God, this very day before you leave this auditorium, you could be immersed into the very body of Jesus, into the death of Jesus, where His blood will wash away every wrong that you've ever done. You done any wrong? You want to get rid of it? Got guilt? Then bury it in baptism and let the blood of Jesus wash away every sin from your life, and you'll be a sinless person. And then he'll add you to the kingdom, and then he says, don't you ever give up. You'll be faithful until the day that you die, and I will give you the crown of life. How can we help you go to, if there's sin in your life that needs to be dealt with, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing.